Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, co-host, and we welcome you to the show. We also have Dr. Tim Hatz with us. Today is Tuesday, February the 17th, 2015. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1. That puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. Your voice is fluttering in and out a little bit when you speak. About every fifth word gets clipped a little, but we can still understand you. I just want to let you know in case you have your phone in a different place than you usually do, because it's usually quite clear. And beyond that, we'll just say welcome to everyone who's here to play today. We're honored, delighted to have this space with you to share these ancient Aramaic ideas of forgiveness and to bring about a shift in the insanity within ourselves and within our world. And you know, our definition of insanity flows naturally from our definition of love. And if you enter into an experiential definition of love, all you have to do is hold a newborn child to know exactly what love is, and to know exactly what your essence is and exactly what you're designed to live connected to. So there's our definition of love, hold a newborn. Our definition of insanity is absence, that sweet, awesome presence of love of the newborn. And, you know, if you look at what's going on in the headlines again today, there's not much human life around. Pretty much insanity, where there is not the active presence of love, there is not human life. Where there is not human life, we have the craziness that passes as life in our culture. The craziness of today's news, 21 beheadings of Christians in Egypt, and now we're going to bomb them in retaliation. And, of course, everybody's got reason for retaliation. Everybody can go back far, far, far in memory and find somebody who committed offense. And what we're looking to do, of course, that happens on the international scale as we're seeing play out just about every day. But it also happens on the micro scale of the individual. And our invitation is that each and every one of you consider becoming big enough to go beyond all the reasons why it's reasonable to be insane, to give up your human life and to rage at somebody, to guilt somebody, to abuse, to punish, what have you. To go beyond all of those reasons and ask yourself the question, would I be better off living a human life than doing this? And if your answer is yes, then there's effort and there's work to be done. We hear from people who say, well, you know, gee, Michael, you're saying you've got to really pay attention to every thought, and every thought that's based in hostility or fear, you've got to be willing to forgive it. And, you know, it just sounds like a really hard way to live. And my input for the person who would say that it's hard to do your work is that we've gotten our vocabularies a little bit mixed up. It's not hard to do your work. it's hard to live a life produced out of the resonance created by hostility and fear inside of you. That's a really hard way to live. But if you have 1,000 dinners, just like, you know, this latest news piece, what are you going to do? Well, we're already dropping bombs. How cool is that? Automatic decision process just takes over, and we're going to do more vengeance. And with more vengeance, of course, whoever gets hit on the other side will have a reason to go and do vengeance for that vengeance. And, you know, it just goes on. What if we all just stopped? Or what if one of us just stopped and said, this is my spouse. This is my child. This is my neighbor. What am I doing? What if I stopped and did human life instead? What if I reached out in compassion and caring? Oh, yes, but Michael, you didn't see what they did. They were so crazy. Okay, so I agree with you. They were crazy. But is them being crazy a reason for you to give up your human life? That's the question we ask. Are you willing to walk forward and keep reclaiming your life from reason after reason after reason after reason why it's worth giving it up? Now, that's an easy way to live, but it takes effort. We've gotten the word hard and effort mixed up. Living with the results of an hostile or fearful mind, they say, is a hard, tough, dirty, nasty, ugly way to live. But to reclaim our human lives, which takes effort, but that effort is ease when you start looking at the results produced. Just the difference of night and day when we choose to do that. Well, how do you do that, Michael? That sounds like a great idea, but how? Well, the key becomes that you've got to enter into the effort of changing your own mind, your own thought patterns. You inherited at your conception a multi-generational database which had generations and generations and generations and generations of thoughts in it. And when a circumstance comes along that resonates a particular thought, one of those generational inclinations, one of those urges will come from those past generations. Now imagine yourself resolving, okay, I'm going to live lovingly from now on. Then somebody gives you the look, and up comes this urge to strike back. Do you know where that urge comes from? That urge is from someone in your bloodline who didn't have any other option than to strike back. You have a different option. You now know that you could stop, you could choose love, you could choose to continue to experience yourself as the presence of love, and reach out from that space and that state to the person that you think just gave you reason to give up your human life. If our generations have given up human life at the drop of a hat, it's an automatic thing to do. You've got to overcome the automatic. And that's where, as you strengthen your spiritual faculties, in particular the faculty of choice, you literally, in the circumstance where somebody gives you the look, somebody steals from you, somebody hits you, somebody doesn't do what they say they were going to do, watch the longing from your generations to do something about it, and then be the observer, the thinker apart from your thoughts, the feeler apart from your feelings, the actor apart from your actions, and ask yourself, is this sane? Is this human life calling to me? Or is this a void of human life simply reacting out of its generations? And the process of forgiveness is how you remove those generational longings or things like vengeance, rage, retribution. somewhere, somebody has to start. Yes, you're justified. You've got all the reasons why you should do it. Except one. And that is, do you really want to give up your human life here? If not, then choose to maintain it. Then choose to reach out from a space of connected love. And as you do, things around you change. It doesn't mean you don't hold people accountable for their behavior if their behavior is off base. What it does mean is you go inside yourself and you literally forgive your capacity for any form of vengeance, retribution, hostility, or fear. That's what we're here to support. And I'm happy to report that everybody who picks up the tools, it isn't long before they're calling back in and saying, you know, I was in this situation yesterday and I caught one of these generational longings that you're talking about. I wanted to just lash out at this person. I stopped and took a breath. I canceled the goal I had for that person and I responded with love and changed. Everything changes. So we're delighted that you're here to join us for this conversation and the engaging in the tool of forgiveness, which is a first century Aramaic tool with which, if you've got some sort of generational longing that doesn't support your human life, you remove that longing through the active process of forgiveness. If you haven't engaged in the forgiveness process as yet, we invite you to go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And there is a bullseye in the middle of the page. Just click on the bullseye, tell you the whole story. It'll walk you right through, give you many, many examples of actual live worksheets we've done with people, free MP3s you can download. And take the tool, and in 6 months, you won't know you'll be in the same world. The gentleman 2,000 years ago was a physicist. He said, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. I think we're fairly safe in assuming he wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about the whole of humanity. And each one that chooses to become the leavening, each one that chooses to bring true human life, to true active presence of love, regardless of what's going on in the world, becomes part of that critical mass. And I personally think we're getting close. So we're glad that you're here to be with us. If you happen to be in Fort Lauderdale, you could join us tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday at CSL in Fort Lauderdale, actually in Wilton Manors, a little burg inside of Fort Lauderdale. So that will be for the next 3 nights. And then we're actually off for a week, and the following week we'll be doing a full week at Unity of Pompano. And then the following week, I believe it is, Jenny will be doing a 2-day Healing the Whole Woman workshop. Have I got my date straight on that, Jeannie? Is it the week after
you
the...
You are right on.
All
yeah.
Right. Very cool.
And then right after the women's retreat, you are also going to be going back to, on the same day that I'm doing the women's retreat, you're going back to the Universal Truth Center in Miami and do a second breath session. And then we are doing 3 days of relationship there at that church, the 15th, 16th, 17th. So, yes, we've added quite a bit.
So anybody who wants to check out the specific dates of all of those events, you could go to www.whyagain.org and just click on the travel schedule, and it'll give you free flyers that you can download and print off with all the details, the when, where, why, how of it. And then when we're finished here in South Florida, we'll be heading to Sebring, Florida, to do a week of workshops at Unity of Sebring. And then we're going to take a little bit of time off in Orlando and spend some time with Jeannie's mom and dad, perhaps with my brother. And then we'll be stepping into a 20-day teacher training, April 17th. We'll start. Jeannie will actually do a 9-day Healing the Whole Woman intensive for ladies. I'll be doing a 9-day concurrent, 9-day, why is this happening to me again, intensive. And then we'll move from that to a 12-day teacher training. So all that's on the schedule. We'd be delighted to have you join us. Dr. Tim, how are you today, young man?
I'm doing quite well, thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for getting those books together and off to us. We're out, and that will help fill a gap until we get the new printing in. But, all three books, the Enlightenment book, the Healing Children, Loving Children, and Recipes just went like bingo, they were gone. So we're just ordering another printing of all three of them, and thank you for that help.
You're very welcome. Glad to be able to do that today in my schedule.
Awesome. So what's exciting in your world? Anything in particular on your mind today, Tim?
Well, I was just, as you were doing the intro, and I was thinking I was listening to part of your interview with Carrie Ellis and her team of friends who were, I guess you did a two-hour video interview with them.
Yes, yes.
And so I was listening to that while I was doing some paperwork, and then and with your intro today, the thing that was resonated for me was a thought. You know, recently you've started talking about how in this world where everything is energy and the entire world functions on the law of resonance, the piece that you've added recently is that if I have an energy in me, it can be resonated by any event or thought or person outside of me.
Right.
And when you start talking about inanimate objects, it just sits there and resonates. But when you're talking about a world of people and animate objects, it doesn't just mean resonance, it means resonance and movement toward those energies that are
the
like
good news and the bad news.
Yeah. And so in your talks and in Guy Finley's talks, I hear Guy Finley say all the time, so, you know, there are always going to be events in your life you don't want, because there is a God, and God is good. And these events come along to reveal to you what you have inside of you that doesn't belong there, and to reveal to you what you need to dismantle or let go of so that you can be what you're intended to be in this world. And there was just something about that, this confluence of energies, that when you were talking in the intro, I started thinking about the people that I've known over the years, this theme of very, very angry people. And they've got a lot of anger in them that frequently is resonated by people breaking their commitments to them. And I think it was Carrie and maybe somebody else in her, the other woman, Amy or somebody in that video, who was talking about how when she started using the forgiveness tool and removing these energies, she noticed an entirely different pattern of people showing up in her life, and that she was very familiar with people when she would be driving or riding her bike that would just, you know, swear at her and flip her off and make an angry face at her. And then she started doing the forgiveness process and removing a lot of her energies around anger and resentment and vengeance. And she all of a sudden realized one day she's been driving or riding and she's meeting people with smiling faces. She's meeting people who are doing pleasantries to each other. And so something about it just came together at a different level for me today, listening to your intro, that if I am holding on to energies that really are disintegrative to my system, they really are going to keep me from going to where I need to be, to move to the next level in my life, I will have events in my life show up simply to show me, not that I'm doing it wrong and not that I'm a bad person and not that my parents had the wrong religion, simply to show me now in this moment what I need to dismantle to move to the next level. And yeah, the stuff that I'm carrying might have been inherited energetics and genetics, but it's in me now and it's to be removed now, and it needs to be removed before I can move on to the next level of where I need to grow, to be, to become, to be able to be the presence of love in the world.
Yes.
So that was, you know, the thing about commitment, the thing about anger, the thing about changing the energies in me and having people around me show up differently just really sank in at a deeper level today. So that's my offering.
Cool. It is fun when we keep building brain cells, how all those little refinements open and show us such huge, huge pieces of the puzzle. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? And actually, I think I was actually there in Chicago. And of course, I've taught residents for 45 years. But I think it was there in Chicago where it clicked of, so the tuning forks, the middle C tuning fork, near second middle C tuning fork that isn't moving, creates motion. But in these human systems, it's motion toward. And that was like a major opening, another major piece of the puzzle to recognize that resonance doesn't just stimulate in someone else what's resonating or moving in me, but it also creates an attraction toward me. And of course, if I see myself attracting all kinds of crazy folks, then I might start looking at my crazy part and do some forgiveness work. So, yeah. Great. Thanks for bringing that up, Tim. That's a really important reminder to looking and keep looking at this mind and what it does. It's such a complex database that cleaning it up is quite a challenge. And you know, another aspect of it is that once you start to, or once you stop taking it all so seriously, even the crazy, painful things can become fun. It's like, here's another piece I need to undo. Golly, when am I going to get over it? When am I going to give this up? And, you know, we can start to laugh at ourselves and start to use humor as a method of moving energy and healing, too. So it's certainly an interesting journey.
Agreed. And easier over time with the application of tools.
Yes. And, of course, those tools are available on whyagain.org anytime you want to play with them. You know, there are hundreds of hours of free information that you can access on our website to take these tools and put them to work in your life. We're delighted to have it there. And, of course, when we travel, watch out for our travel workshops. 99% of them are free open workshops. So come and join us. We're delighted to give the tools away. And of course, if you're in a position and a posture and you see the value that these tools have, of course, there are paid ways that you can support us. There are ways you can buy our products on our website. Why is this happening to me again? We got 15 different DVDs. And so if you are in a position to and you'd like to support us, because, of course, it takes a whole lot of cash flow to keep all of this moving, then you can also go to our website. There's a donate button. You can donate to us. You could do an ongoing monthly donation, or you can look at the product catalog. Of course, intensives are another paid way to take your work to a deeper level, a new level, and to support what we're doing. And basically what happens with every resource we get, you know, aside from a fairly simple lifestyle, basically everything that comes into this work is turned right around into what's the next project, how do we do the next thing that we need to do to take this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So if you want to support us, do your work first and foremost. That's the biggest support. And then if you're in a posture where, you know, finances are available to you to support it, then we invite you to step in place and do something in that regard. And your support may be the thing that opens the next major project that takes this to the next level. So we appreciate everybody who's here to share with us. We appreciate everyone who does support us. And let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anything happening in the chat room to be aware of, or anybody with a hand up in the phone queue.
There's no hand up and no questions in the chat room. However, I did just receive a text, and a listener said that they're having trouble understanding A Course in Miracles Lesson 13. I just brought it up on my computer, and it's really short, so if I can read the whole thing and then you address, kind of explain what it's talking about.
Go for it.
Okay. So it says, a meaningless world engenders fear. Today's idea is really another form of the preceding one, except that it is more specific as to the emotion aroused. Actually, a meaningless world is impossible. Nothing without meaning exists. However, it does not follow that you would think you perceive something that has no meaning. On the contrary, you will be particularly likely to think you do perceive it. Recognition of meaninglessness arouses intense anxiety in all the separated ones. It represents a situation in which God and the ego challenge each other as to whose meaning is to be written in the empty space that meaninglessness provides. The ego rushes in frantically to establish its own ideas there, fearful that the void may otherwise be used to demonstrate its own impotence and unreality. And on this alone, it is correct. It is essential, therefore, that you learn to recognize the meaninglessness and accept it without fear. If you are fearful, it is certain that you will endow the world with attributes that it does not possess and crowd it with images that do not exist. To the ego, illusions are safety devices, as they must also be to you who equate yourself with the ego. The exercise for today, which should be done about 3 or 4 times for not more than a minute each time, are to be practiced in a somewhat different way from the preceding ones. With eyes closed, repeat today's idea to yourself and then open your eyes and look about you slowly, saying, I am looking at a meaningless world. Repeat this statement to yourself as you look about and then close your eyes and conclude with, a meaningless world engenders fear because I think I am in competition with God. You may find it difficult to avoid resistance in one form or another to this concluding statement. Whatever form such resistance may take, remind yourself that you are really afraid of such a thought because of the vengeance of the enemy. You are not expected to believe the statement at this point and will probably dismiss it as preposterous. Note carefully, however, any signs of overt or covert fear which may arouse. This is our first attempt at starting an explicit cause and effect relationship of a kind which you are very inexperienced in recognizing. Do not dwell on the concluding statement and do not try to even think of it except during the practice periods. That will suffice.
Cool. Well, if you look at that idea, I see a meaningless world. You know, each one of us interacts. You perhaps have been at a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop where I introduce the young man whose mother is a school teacher, his teacher, small town, kindergarten to grade 12. He's in the one-room school with mom. Mom is a marker artist, and mom is an absolutely incredible woman. So this kid, from kindergarten to 12th grade, grows up with mom as his teacher. You know, he's building brain cells. He's building information into his mind about women, about mom, about learning, about art, about color, about markers. And all these years, he just has a blast. And as a result, he's a world-famous marker artist. So there's one young man. And then let's take the second young man who's born and raised in a similar situation. Mom's a teacher, kindergarten to grade 12, small one-room school. But this mom's different. This mom is angry, nasty, and abusive. She likes for everybody to know how stupid her son is, what a troublemaker he is, and every time he turns around, she's got a degrading remark for him. And she uses markers too. Only she uses markers to center him out in the classroom, and every time he does the slightest thing to step out of line, and sometimes he doesn't have to do anything, she fires a marker at his head, and on at least two occasions, he turned at the wrong time and got a marker in the eye and ended up in the hospital. Here's a setting to understand this lesson. I stand in front of him and I say, how many see a marker in my hand? And most everybody says, yes, I see the marker in your hand, Michael. And I argue, no, you don't see the marker in my hand. You see a picture in your brain based on what this marker resonates in you. And so in our example, when I hold the marker up, the young man who's the world-famous marker artist, his physiology feels good. He's all warm and fuzzy. And he says, markers are awesome. Markers make me feel so good. This is fabulous. So the world of markers in his brain, he's given a meaning. And his meaning is about his history with markers. It's fun and it's awesome. And he's ready to get the markers out and go to work. The second young man has a different meaning. And his meaning is one of markers, painful, darkness, trauma, being centered out, being belittled. Oh, no, 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 markers are bad. You'll notice that in each case, each of these young men have given the world of markers a meaning. You'll notice that one of the lessons that precedes this lesson in the course is a lesson that says, I have given this world all the meaning it has for me. So you and I are the inheritors of a multi-generational database. It's called this body-mind unit, this energy system. And in it are all the thoughts and feelings of all the generations about the world between their ears. They think it's the world out there, but it's really the world between their ears. And so the idea of this lesson in the course is to recognize, first of all, I've given the world all the meaning it has for me. Therefore, the world is meaningless. And this is to assist you in discarding. You know, I look at the marker and I say, markers are wonderful. Discard that idea. I look at the marker and I say, because of my brain cell content, markers are dangerous and painful. And so to begin to discard or forgive all of the false ideas is the idea of this lesson. That when I go to my past, which is what's stored in my mind in brain cells, and I pluck out a meaning, that meaning is something that obviously by definition is from the past and therefore is no longer accurate and true about the present moment. But if I buy it as accurate, true, and true, then I'll give this experience a meaning, and the meaning may have nothing whatsoever to do with what's actually happening. If you ever had somebody accuse you of saying something you never said, of doing something you never did, why did they accuse you of that? Because they gave their brain's image of you a meaning, and the meaning that they gave came from their past. They're living in a meaningless world. Anyone who's living in brain cells and meanings from the past misses the gift of the present moment experience. When I realize that the world holds no meaning I did not give to it, then I can begin to forgive all of those meanings. Then, once my carbon-based memory, my body's mind, shuts up, now my mind can be available to the Creator. And the Creator can tell you what this is actually intended for and what it means. So now my mind becomes available as a space where the Creator's mind can write truth about this live, present moment experience right here, which is like no other moment that is ever. According to what we call the non-being mind, the multi-generational database, it says, this meaning is true about you. This meaning is true about now. And you know, we've talked about the Harvard research that says that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of information that comes to conscious awareness is 9 bits. So if you think of your conscious awareness as a 9-bit space, you will find that the conversations of 1,000 generations of rage and guilt and grief and fear and hate and vengeance and beauty and peace and love and wonderment all rush in to try to give this present moment a meaning. And if the meaning we give it is from the past, then it is meaningless. When I work with this lesson and I give up my meaningless content, then I become available to be taught directly from the Creator. So that would be my take on that particular lesson from the Course. A meaningless world engenders fear. The non-being mind says, well, if my meaning isn't true, if I'm not in control here, oh, I'm really in trouble. That's its whole foundation. I'm really in trouble if I can't control everybody and everything and I don't have all the answers. Tell your non-being mind that you're going to fast if it doesn't shut up. Let go of the meaninglessness, and all of a sudden, moment by moment by moment, you know, Tim shared this morning, I shared, when I was in Woodstock, and all of a sudden, something that I talked about literally for decades, I mean, the foundation of my work for decades has been resonance, right back from the very first time I got in the platform. And I held meaning for it, and the meaning was, law of resonance, energy exchange. When I was able to drop that sufficiently to be taught, and all of a sudden what I was shown was another piece that's true about resonance, and that is it creates motion toward us by the people who are in resonance with us. So a new piece of teaching came to me because I was willing to be taught, and the present moment and the presence is always there to give us higher and higher and higher meanings. Tim juxtaposed 3 different events, and click, he was taught, a new piece of the puzzle. Now I'm getting to true meaning. And when I'm given true meaning, I can even drop that because in the next moment, there might be another new piece in the puzzle. So that would be my take on how that lesson falls. Does that fit? And if we could do any discussion, if it was a text that you got or an email to you, that perhaps maybe the person could call in, 646-200-4169, and we could continue a conversation if that doesn't clarify the whole thing.
She's actually on her way to a seminar, but she said that's an awesome explanation. She did ask, what about the one line where it says a meaningless word engenders fear because I think that I'm in competition with God? And that kind of went along with something that we were just saying in the chat room, and that is that it's like the heart or the being is really in control, and letting go is part of the mind. And so that's like a competition between the heart and the mind. Is also sort of like the competition between base memory and being, or as the Course is talking about, between myself and God. Does that fit?
Yeah, I think that's perfect. And, you know, meaningless world engenders fear because I think if I'm not in control, then something bigger than me is. And I did something to peeve that which is bigger than me, and it's going to get me. And that's a belief that a lot of people hold. And so we've got to stay right on top of it in order not to have to look at that kind of a thought. And when you start dropping all the meanings that you have, you open a space for who knows what's to come. And the beauty of that is that when you drop all the things you think protect you, there is a protector that will upgrade your program to the next level of safety and security and awesome presence in the world. There's a great line in the ancient scriptures that says, you know, here's the creator talking to humans. If you're in resonance, if you're in tune, in harmony with me, you can walk through a battlefield where 1,000 or 10,000 will die and you can't be touched. That bullet can't come toward you, will not move in your direction unless there's something in you that says, I'm supposed to die, I'm supposed to suffer, I'm supposed to hurt, I'm supposed to be punished. If something like that exists in us, then we will draw something to do that. On the battlefield, if there's nothing in us that holds injury, injury can't happen. It's just not possible. Because you live, move, and have your being in an energy field called love, which is here to do only two things. One, to take care of you. And two, if you don't want to be taken care of, to follow your directions and bring you what it is that you ask for. You listen to people in their conversations, and they have no idea the power of words. And so we hear people all the time saying things like, oh, that just kills me. Well, the Creator's job is to bring to you what you ask for. If the frequency of the thought, that just kills me, becomes the strongest resonant energy in you concerning your life, then you're going to walk into a space where something will kill you. When you let go of those thoughts and you live in trust of there is a power in me that goes before me and takes care of everything, then everything's taken care of. Just the way it works. So you have fun at that seminar, young lady. I'm excited about what you've been doing with the tapping, and it's exciting to hear that you're going to go and study it on a deeper level, and you know, maybe next summer at Heartland or maybe a teacher's training this year, you'll bring it along and share it with us.
That would be awesome, and it's funny that you know exactly who I'm talking about, and
yes,
didn't even mention her name, but anyway. So we did have a hand up, and now it's disappeared. So, caller, if you're still on the line, press 1 again, and you're in line to speak. They were on there, and I was going to announce them when you finished, but now they have vanished.
Well, our caller number is...
Thinking alike. Go for it.
Go for it.
646-200-4169, and press 1.
Yeah, I was just chatting on Facebook before the show with Don David, and he was saying that he was going to call in. And I forget what Don's area code is. He's out in Palm Springs, California. And so it might have been Don. I don't know. If you're there, Don, push 1. Let us know. Say hello. We haven't heard your voice in, God, it's been over a year. And it sounds like you're doing some exciting new stuff with water out in California, important commodity today. So I'd love to hear more about it.
I believe it was a 760 area code, which is California, but I just scanned down through. We have a lot of callers on the switchboard today, more than usual, but
cool.
I do not see that area code on there, so he must have had to hang up for some reason. So maybe he'll call back in.
Okay. So, if we'd have been having this whole conversation, and you who are sitting on the other end of the phone right now with the phone in your ear, were sitting in the audience listening to what Dr. Tim just shared, what Jeannie shared, what I shared, that lesson from the course, how many questions came up for you? How many refinements? And if the three of us walk down off of the stage, would you be coming over to one or two or all three of us with a question about what the conversation has been so far in the show? If so, then what we'd love for you to do is to ask your question. Push one. Now, sometimes people get nervous. You know, I'm going to be on the radio and people will be hearing my voice. Just take a breath and let go of that. If your voice is a little shaky, it's no big deal. If you've been listening to my voice the last couple of days, it's been a challenge. But I'm actually more in alignment with my healing process here over the last 10 or 12 days of feeling human and moving in the right direction. My throat's still a little raspy, but definitely better than it's been for several days. So push one. Say hello. How can we support you? What's exciting in your world? Beyond that, if you're on Facebook, our Facebook is JMRYCE. And Dr. Tim was sharing about the two-hour video that we did with Carrie and her friends on the forgiveness process. And I actually just came across the link for that this morning and pasted it on Facebook. So if you want to take a look at that, it's a free video watch on YouTube. And we're actually speaking with these folks about creating a Friday television show where we'll have the video involved in the whole process of teaching this forgiveness work. So we're looking at that as another project, another possibility. And if we do it, we'll probably do it concurrent with the radio show so that we'll do the Blog Talk radio show at the same time as we do the television show. We'll still have the ability to take callers, and we'll be talking about these tools, only there'll be a visual aspect. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is getting the final draft of the core teaching on the forgiveness worksheet, which Bill Costantino is working on. And we'll have this absolutely fabulous animated
PowerPoint.
What do they call it? PowerPoint presentation. And so we'll probably share that on the radio show as well. And then that'll put it on YouTube, and it'll be available for anybody that wants to use it. And I understand that Bill is doing a live presentation with it, going to video that, put it on YouTube. So you'll have a couple of different examples of a PowerPoint on the reality management worksheet, and especially the core of the forgiveness process. So you'll be able to refer to that all the time and make it your own, which is pretty cool. Share it with others.
You have two callers.
Say it again, Jeannie.
I have two callers.
Well, let's say hello.
All right. The first one is area code 517. You're on the air. Is this Rex?
It sure is. How you doing, Jeannie?
Much better.
Hi, Michael.
Thank you.
Yes, you sound like your voice is clearing up. Michael, you sound like you still got some going on, but your voice is a lot clearer.
Yeah, definitely moving in the right direction. Appreciating the healing process.
Well, you bet. We just keep sending love your way and seeing you completely and totally healed.
Accepted.
And, of course, you already are. We just haven't accepted it fully ourselves. At least that's what I think about it. I think we're already healed. We just don't realize it yet. At any rate, I really enjoy the conversation today and yesterday. When you're talking about resonance and talking about having new levels of awareness, I realize something that is just so simple, but it's so very, very, very profound for me, and that is that I recognize more and more all the time that whatever it is, whenever I access memory to tell me what it is I'm experiencing, which is the law of resonance, that's what resonates, that's what the law of resonance does in my mind, when that happens in me, I'm no longer even experiencing the world as it is, as it really is, and I'm making it up. Because no matter how closely I've been able to record that data is dead. It was already in the past and it no longer exists. So I have to make it up in order to have a memory of it. And just that alone right there was enough for me to go another level of, wow, so anytime I'm not seeing or experiencing love, in its truest form, in another, in an object, in a thing, in any experience I'm having in the moment when I am perceiving it, then I am making it up. And I'm making it up from a memory that I made up as well. And it's so, it's just, I know it just sounds so simple, and it is really simple, but it's like in my awareness, what I'm getting clearer and clearer all the time is that that's a lot of the time. And it's the diligence of doing the forgiveness, of doing the release, of letting it go, and recognizing that if I made it up, then why don't I just make it up differently and let go of the part that I was holding on to? And a really good example for me, and this may be a bit of a trigger for some people, but to really express where I got a really good insight on this is when I was sharing with a couple, having a conversation, and I was talking about when we went and saw Journey's body for the first time after he had transitioned. And his body was laying on the table, and it was obviously very, very sad. It was the day that he died, or that his body had died. And I was watching it, and it was incredibly emotional. And whenever I would revisit that memory, it would just trigger massive amounts of grief and feelings of loss and all the stuff that went along with it. Well, I was sharing because I'd done some work on that, but a lot of forgiveness on it, as you both know, or all of you know, I've been doing a lot of work on it. And then I've also been doing tapping on it as well, which can address different aspects of it. As I was sharing the story, another wave of emotion came up in me. So I paused, breathed, did some forgiveness, let it go. And all of a sudden, in the memory, because this isn't happening right now, in this moment it wasn't, and in the memory, I saw Journey, or I felt the presence of Journey, the real essence of Journey, I would suggest, standing between Mitzi and I with his arms around us. And it was just my experience, so it was my memory, so I could have it be whatever I wanted. And in the moment, it may very well have happened that way. I may not have been aware of it because of my grief. And what I realized, it doesn't even matter if it really happened. But my experience now is, he was there, and he was compassionate about our grief and our sadness, but he wasn't bummed like we were. I mean, he was actually got a little bit of a slight grin, and then he said to us, he said, "Dad, that's not who I am. It never was who I am. And you're grieving over something that isn't even there. That's not who I am. I'm right here. I'm fine." And so now, whenever I discuss that experience, and then, of course, Journey has a great sense of humor, so he injects humor into the experience. He says something like, "Man, that dude looks horrible," something like that. And then I laugh, and all of a sudden, now I can go to that memory very comfortably and look at it and see it, and what my memory is, not a memory of loss and grief and pain. It's a memory of Journey making a joke about a body or an energy system that was laying on the table that's no longer him. It wasn't representing him. And it never did represent him because I made it that way in my mind. So I thought that was very befitting of what we were, you know, the conversation was, and how that memory has just changed for me. And what I've been doing is just gradually, you know, redoing these experiences. And what I find is there was a lot more, one, there was a lot more happening, or I'm more willing to look at a side that produces a result inside me that's joyous or at least peaceful. And that was what I really was excited about sharing, and it was seemed so befitting of what we were talking about with the resonance and the meaningless world, and of course, and so on and so forth.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. Right on track. And there's some interesting research where they're showing that when we recall something, we actually have to build a whole new set of proteins for that memory. So it is, in fact, every time rewritten according to the content that's resonated. So, you know, we don't ever go back to the exact set of proteins that created the image that happened originally, it's always being ingested. And so there's a whole different game happening there when you realize that we can, of course, forgive the energies that tap into those meanings that hold pain, and that we can be available to the mind of love to give us new meanings, to give us something different to live by. Pretty awesome. So powerful experience. Thank you for sharing that, Rex.
You bet. And it's for those of us that have feelings of loss, which I still have that, but it's just not as prevalent as it was. And I'm letting go more and more of any of these ideas that I was abandoned and that I have lost. And when I experience something like my dog passing or my son transitioning, his body transitioning, and when I experience that now, I realize I'm making this up, just like you were describing, Michael. That's the insight. And I've known this for a long time. I've been teaching it for quite a while. But it's just of late, it's been really dawning on me that it's almost everything. Anything, anytime I'm accessing a memory, I'm one, building a new memory of it. And my thought is how silly it is for me to build a new memory that's painful. And if I'm building a new memory anyway, why don't I just forgive the other one and rebuild it the way I might enjoy it? And it's exciting. It's amazing. And that's also the last step, I think, in part of when we do the forgiveness process is that, okay, what would be a conscious loving goal that I would set for that experience? And the conscious loving goal I would set is that Journey was doing exactly what he was ideal for him to be doing in the moment, and that I can experience the joy of whatever he's experiencing in the moment with him. And with that goal, there he's standing next to me smiling, and the more I go into that memory, the more he jokes with me about the body laying there.
Yeah.
And it's intriguing. I'm fascinated by the process. I appreciate everybody and all the work that everybody's doing on themselves and everybody else.
Cool. And on a slightly different note, I had a little bit of communication with Brea this morning, and she had dropped me a note wishing me a happy birthday, and I dropped her note back saying, well, I have a suspicion that the words birthday are going to have a whole new meaning for you in a very short period of time as she gives birth to this little one. So I have a picture of she and Zach on my phone and looking at them and just sending that love and holding that space for them. And Grandpa, I look forward to seeing the look on your face the first time you see and hold this newborn energy of being that comes into your world. Very cool.
Well, I'm very excited as well. And Michael, I apologize for missing your birthday, but happy birthday belated, brother.
Ah.
I don't know how I let that slip by, but I did.
Ah.
And
no big deal.
But know that I think of you 2, 3, 4 times a day and send you love almost every day. So.
I accept.
The birthday
accept.
Was just an additional piece.
No,
appreciate
awesome.
Everybody. And Tim, you've been doing some pretty profound sharing of late, especially, and I've been benefiting a lot from it as well. Thank you. And then, Jeannie, I was so pleased and am so pleased that you have 46 or more participants to your workshop. I am so jazzed. I
Thank
love
you.
That.
I'm pretty jazzed, too.
You go, girl. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have so many people, Michael's going to want to sneak in, you know, but don't let him. It's all women.
Well, he said that that's what he wanted to do after he did the breath workshop last Saturday with all women.
Oh, there you go. God bless everybody.
All right, well, we're down to our last few seconds, so we'll just say, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. And lots of blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.